Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, February 17th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Russia denies claims it's adding troops near the Ukrainian border.
Calls grow for a 50-point rate hike by the Fed next month.
Walmart leads today's earnings parade on Wall Street.
And the Wall Street pay gap widens in the wake of the pandemic.
Mayor Adams says it's time for workers to get back to the office. And a major winter storm headed this way. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. An epic comeback by the Nets to stun the Knicks. And Canada beat the U.S. for the women's hockey gold medal.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 106.1 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower to start the day, coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 22 points, Dow futures down 153, NASDAQ futures down 92. The 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 2.01%, yield on the 2-year 1.48%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 2.25%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest developments near the Ukraine border. The U.S. says Russia's claim it's pulling troops back is false. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, in fact, says the opposite is true.
What we're seeing is no meaningful pullback. On the contrary, we continue to see forces, especially forces that would be in the vanguard of any renewed aggression against Ukraine, continuing to be at the border.
Blinken says an extra 7,000 troops in the past few days, at the same time Vladimir Putin says he's pulling back. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you. U.S. lawmakers are monitoring the situation closely. We spoke with the chair of the Congressional Ukraine Caucus, Marcy Kaptur of Ohio. She says the country needs further assistance and the U.S. should punish Russia now.
I think the United States and our allies should place severe sanctions additionally on the Russian oligarchy. We should do everything possible to make Nord Stream 2 non-functional. And to bolster Ukraine's defenses in order to preserve her sovereignty, which she so deserves.
Democratic Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, Karen, we're also following reaction to the minutes from the Federal Reserve's last policy meeting. Officials concluded last month that they would raise interest rates soon. Some, like J.P. Morgan Asset Management's Bob Michael, think a rate hike of 50 basis points could be coming.
I never liked the idea of a 50 basis point rate hike. We look back over the last 30-plus years, there have only been a couple times they did it. So I've always viewed a 50 basis point rate hike as serving the market a knuckle sandwich, and that's about what we're going to get.
J.P. Morgan's Bob Michael says the consequences of not doing a 50-point hike could be a sharp steepening of the yield curve.
Well, as the debate over interest rates continues, Nathan, inflation remains the main focus for the Fed. Billionaire investor Carl Icahn does not think it's going to end well.
Sooner or later, a situation like this is going to end relatively badly. Some less badly, some more. But you can't keep printing up money and printing it up and printing it up because you get what you have now that you can't control. The government can't control inflation.
Carl Icahn made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Eric Schatzker. Stay tuned for more of that conversation coming up shortly on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Well, Carl Icahn isn't the only billionaire raising the alarm on inflation, Karen. Berkshire Hathaway Vice Chairman Charlie Munger is sharing Icahn's concerns.
There's never been anything quite like what we're doing now. And we do know from what's happened in other nations, if you try and print too much money, it eventually causes terrible trouble. And we are closer to terrible trouble than we've been in the past, but it may still be a long way off.
Berkshire Hathaway Vice Chairman Charlie Munger made the comments at the Daily Journal's annual meeting. He also took a swipe at cryptocurrencies, saying he thinks they should be banned.
Turning to earnings now, Nathan, we see shares of DoorDash up more than 25.5% in early trading. A record number of people ordered from the food delivery app in the fourth quarter. And Bloomberg's Charlie Pillett has a story.
The quarter showed that pandemic eating habits are sticking despite COVID-19's fading threat. Customers placed 369 million orders in the period, representing a 35% increase from a year earlier. People were also ordering more often, and the value of those orders increased 36% to $11.2 billion. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Charlie, thanks. Checking out some other stocks on the move this morning. Shares of Cisco are up 3.5%. The computer network equipment maker gave a bullish forecast and boosted its share buyback program. Applied Materials is up 2%. Earnings at the semiconductor machinery company topped estimates. And NVIDIA is down more than 3%. The chipmaker failed to impress investors with its latest forecast.
Well, up next, Nathan, we get earnings from Walmart, results from the retailer due out at 7 a.m. Eastern. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
Despite a pickup in retail spending in January, the world's biggest retailer expected to forecast slowing growth in same-store sales this year as the nation emerges from the pandemic and consumers are faced with stubbornly high inflation. Forecast call for same-store sales in the just-completed fourth quarter, though, to rise 6.3% at its signature stores, a gain of nearly 10% at its Sam's Club warehouse stores. Revenue expected to top $151.5 billion, with adjusted earnings per share of $1.50. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Tom, thanks. And it's the latest fallout from the pandemic. A new report shows the pay gap between men and women widened during the first year of COVID. We get the details from Bloomberg's Kaylee Lines.
Morningstar says the gender pay gap among top executives at S&P 500 companies grew to its widest level since 2012 during the first year of the pandemic. Male executives disproportionately gained from stock-based compensation, leaving women in the C-suite earning about 75% less. The year earlier, in 2019, there were slightly more women in the highest-paying jobs at public companies, and their salaries were about on par with men in similar roles. Of 18 executives earning more than $50 million in 2020, only one was a woman. In New York, I'm Kaylee Lines, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Kaylee, thank you. S&P futures down 24 points. NASDAQ futures lower by 102. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street, 52 degrees in Central Park. We got a tractor-trailer crash on the New York State Thruway. It's at exit 10. Details coming up in traffic. First, John Tucker with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. There's a message from City Hall to New York's major companies. Get back to the office. Let's get the story this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Mayor Eric Adams told leaders of major companies in the city it was time to get their workers back in offices, emphasizing that empty buildings are holding back the city's pandemic recovery. The mayor said he met with 100 chief executive officers this week, telling them now is the time to get back. A winter surge in COVID-19 cases due to the highly transmissible Omicron variant has hampered a slow return to offices. The virus has slowed since, and the current 7-day average of positive cases in the city is roughly 1,100. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
There's a major winter storm raking parts of the nation, and it's headed this way. Bloomberg meteorologist Rod Carlin is tracking the storm.
John, a powerful storm system is going to be developing in the central United States and tracking towards the Great Lakes over the next 24 hours. Flood watchers are in effect from Missouri into western and northern New York State. We have wind advisories from the Gulf Coast into the Ohio River Valley, winter weather advisories, and winter storm warning stretch from lower Michigan across Missouri and on into Oklahoma. Big problem for the tri-state area over the next 36 hours will be rain heavy at times late today and into tonight, and some very strong gusty winds. There may be a few gusts over 40 miles an hour, especially along the coast, and that could lead to some scattered power outages. John?
Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Mayor Eric Adams has proposed a $98.5 billion budget, pledging to restrain spending in a city awash with extraordinary federal aid and better-than-expected property tax revenues. In his first spending plan since taking office, Adams pledged to prize efficiency and restrain ballooning police costs. President Biden's vow to slash greenhouse gas emissions depends on environmental regulations that the Supreme Court may gut even before they're written. The nation's top court hears arguments February 28th from coal plants and Republican-led states trying to curb the EPA's authority to regulate carbon dioxide emissions from the power sector. And Amazon and workers at a company warehouse on Staten Island have reached a tentative agreement to hold a union election. The Amazon labor union confronts daunting odds. A more established union lost an election last year at an Amazon fulfillment center in Alabama. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, John. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. Knicks and Nets at the Garden. The Knicks could not have asked for a better start. They were hitting everything. The Nets were missing everything. The Knicks were up by 20 after the first quarter. That lead grew to 28. And later, after Brooklyn got it down to 7, Knicks went right back up by 18 in the fourth quarter. But twice recently, they have blown leads of over 20 points, and it happened again.
Bills inbounding. All the way to the backcourt with a pass to Thomas. Thomas will bring it across the midcourt line. Yeah, they're not fouling. Down to four, down to three. Thomas, pull up three. Good! Oh, Cam Thomas from 30 feet with 6.8 seconds to go. Ices this one for Brooklyn.
That's Chris Carino on WFAN. Nets 111, Knicks 106. The rookie Thomas made only one basket in the first half. He had finished with 21 points. Seth Curry and Andre Drummond, who the Nets just got in the James Harden trade, both big factors. Curry scored 20. Drummond had 19 rebounds. Julius Randle led the Knicks with 31. Good win for St. John's, 86-73 at Xavier. Julian Cimpagni scored 27. Rutgers did it again, a fourth straight Big Ten win over a top 25 team. This one's 70-59 over Illinois. Seton Hall lost at UConn 70-65. The women's hockey gold medal game, as always, U.S. versus Canada. One or the other has won every gold medal and world championship, and this one to Canada. Led 3-0, held on, won 3-2. Michaela Schifrin was in five alpine skiing events, never finished in the top 10, and failed to finish three of the events, including the combined. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 24 points. Dow futures down 166, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 100 points. The 10-year Treasury up 8/32. The yield, 2.01%. This is Bloomberg. We're coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are moving lower this morning. Traders weighing geopolitical developments in Ukraine and a flurry of corporate earnings. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures down 24 points, Dow futures down 161, NASDAQ futures down 101. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 2.01%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.48%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.2% on $2.07 at $91.59 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.8% or $15.50 at $18.87 an ounce. The euro 1.1376 against the dollar. British pound 1.3614. The yen's at 115.04. And Bitcoin this morning moving lower at $43,150. Today we are watching for reports on housing starts and building permits out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with a weekly report on initial jobless claims. And Walmart is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Yeah, good morning, Karen. Russia's foreign ministry denies a claim by the U.S. of Britain that it's added as many as 7,000 troops to soldiers already near Ukraine's borders. The CDC expected to loosen its recommendations about indoor mask wearing as soon as next week. The Republicans in Florida's House of Representatives have approved a ban on abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Hong Kong planning a testing blitz of the entire city. They're trying to get control of the most challenging outbreak of the pandemic. In Bloomberg Sports, the Knicks blow a 28-point lead at home and fall to the next. The Celtics, Wizards, and Warriors all lose, and at the Olympics, Canada beats the U.S. to win the gold in women's ice hockey. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks a lot. It is 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. We want to turn now to a prominent name in finance, Carl Icahn. He is well known across Wall Street as a famed activist investor. We sat down late yesterday for a conversation with Icahn to discuss new rules from the Securities and Exchange Commission on corporate activism and his evolving views on politics and former President Donald Trump. So let's listen in now to Bloomberg's Eric Schatzker speaking with Carl Icahn.
Carl, the SEC has proposed a number of new rules that, at least on the surface, threaten to thwart activists like you. And I don't want to get into a catalog of the rules and their prescriptiveness, but, you know, it would force you to disclose stakes faster. It would force you to disclose economic interest through derivatives and not just common shares. It would expand the definition of a group. I want to know what you make of these proposed rules and the impact that they'll have on activism.
There are rules that the SEC are promoting that I think are sort of necessary without getting into the details. I think there are abuses by even these mutual funds and even these investment bankers and guys I know and friendly with. However, the one that I'm adamantly against, and really, again, I'm saying not because it relates to me, which it does. It does relate to me to some extent. But in a way, in a very ironic way, it might even help me. But what they're doing now is throwing out the baby with the bathwater when it comes to activism. We have great corporations, but many of them are terribly managed, and that's one of the problems we have. We have the wrong guys running a lot of these companies, and there's no way to get rid of them because you really don't have fair votes. To go in and fight a company, it costs you a great deal of money. First of all, they beat you up with PR. But I've been through it, so that's what I'm saying. These rules don't affect me as much. They beat you up with PR. It's more of a feudalistic system, to be euphemistic.
Which is the rule specifically that you think would affect you and perhaps other people too?
The rule that they're trying to push now is the 10-day rule, where if you buy stock, an activist wants to accumulate some stock, he says, okay, I'm going to face all these problems. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to have to put up with the PR. I'm going to have to spend a great deal of money proxy fight. I mean, in a political election, you put the guy in jail if you're the president and you use the money, the government's money, to go fight in the political arena. Here, you have to do all these things. So, but the one thing the activist might be able to make money with is he buys stock first. And then he gets to 5%, and then they let you buy stock for another 5-6 days, so you accumulate some stock. And then when it gets out, if he has a chance, or he gets the company to sell themselves or do all these things, he makes some money for all the work he did. Otherwise, why should an activist even do it?
It's disincentivizing activism. Mm-hmm. Have I got that right?
Just incentivizing something that should be done now. I do agree, because I want to be fair about this to the SEC, I do agree with some of the criticism. And so the criticism basically is some guy goes in and says, hey, look, I'm going to be real smart about this. I'm sort of a known guy. I'm going to buy this stock. And you know, I'm just going to get it there. Now I'm going to get the PR out there. And some of these activists do that. They get PR, they get articles. Oh, I just bought the stock. Isn't that wonderful? And the stock goes up, and then he sells it. And I think that is a legitimate criticism.
The short-term game, in other words.
Short-term game. So I would suggest, and I'm going to do this, I'm writing a paper on it, that it's fair to say that the activist can't make that short-term gain. He has to disgorge it. In other words, if he's an activist, he's buying it for the good of the shareholders, he's saying, and to some extent for the good of the company, I'm going to wage a proxy fight or whatever. He has to keep it for a certain amount of time, as you have in many cases with boards, and he has to keep it with a certain amount of time. But let's say he buys it and the stock and he gets that extra 5 days or 7 days and he accumulates some stock, and then the stock does go up because he bought it. At least he's going to make some money if the company does go out and sell itself or does other things that he suggests. So otherwise, what this rule is going to do is actually discourage activism even more than it is discouraged today. And just to add to what I said before, I think that's a very bad thing for economic society, because right now...
You need activists.
Yeah, you absolutely need them more and more now.
I want to move on to ask you a question, and I'll preface it by saying this. I know how much you don't love talking about politics, but I do have to ask you about somebody whom you know well, Donald Trump. Everybody knows that you supported him, you know, in his presidential campaign. And on occasion, you functioned as some...
Wall Street, I'm Karen Moscow, along with Nathan Hager. And we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interests at IBKR.com/RIA. Up first, stocks are falling in the wake of the latest developments out of Ukraine. Russia is denying a claim by the U.S. and Britain that it's added as many as 7,000 troops near the border. We get more from Bloomberg National Security Editor Bill Ferries.
Is going to be a key day. We'll have a lot of foreign ministers gathering in Munich for a security conference there. That will give a chance for everybody to sit down and hash out the approach, the reaction to this latest news about the troop buildup, according to the U.S. So I think this is definitely not the direction people wanted to see just 2 days ago when the announcements of a potential Russian drawdown first emerged.
Bloomberg's Bill Ferries says the U.S. thinks Russia has about 150,000 soldiers near Ukraine's borders.
The Federal Reserve is also in the spotlight this morning, Karen. Minutes from the central bank's latest meeting show officials will raise interest rates soon. They're also on alert for persistent inflation that would justify a faster pace of tightening.
Well, turning to corporate earnings now, Nathan, shares of NVIDIA down more than 3% in early trading. The chipmaker failed to impress with its latest forecast. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
NVIDIA topped Wall Street estimates with its latest quarterly results and projected strong growth for the current period. CEO and co-founder Jensen Huang has turned a niche business, graphic cards for gamers, into a chip empire worth more than $600 billion. But investors have high hopes for the company, and even a record-setting quarter can leave them underwhelmed. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Charlie, thank you. Some other stocks moving on earnings this morning. Applied Materials is up 2%. Earnings at the semiconductor machinery company topped estimates. Cisco's higher by more than 3%. The computer network equipment maker gave a bullish forecast. And DoorDash is surging this morning. The shares are up almost 26% now after a record number of people ordered from the food delivery app. Up next, we get earnings from Walmart this morning.
And finally, Nathan, Amazon has settled a huge dispute on payment fees with Visa. The e-commerce giant will now accept Visa cards across its global network. It will no longer charge an extra fee to customers in Singapore and Australia who use Visa on its site. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Again, futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 26 points. Dow futures down 171. NASDAQ futures down 108. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, the yield 2%, the yield on the 2-year 1.48%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 2.4% at $91.43 a barrel. That's down $2.23. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 52 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with a tractor-trailer crash in the New York State Thruway by exit 10. Details coming up in traffic. First, John Tucker's here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City Mayor Eric Adams telling leaders of major companies in the city get their workers back in offices, emphasizing that empty buildings are holding back the city's pandemic recovery.
New York City can't run from home. We can't keep kicking the can down the road. We want you to come back in January. No, come back in February. No, come back in March. It's time.
The mayor says he met with 100 CEOs this week to get their workers back into the office to stimulate the economy. A winter surge in COVID-19 cases due to the Omicron variant has hampered a slow return to offices. Dr. Anthony Fauci was asked how we'll know when the pandemic is over.
What you want is to make sure the trajectory keeps going down and down and down, concentrating more on what the rate of severe disease and hospitalization is will determine that.
Fauci telling ABC, we don't know what that number is yet, but that will be more of a determinant than the rate of infection. Mayor Adams doesn't think the city's vaccine rules that prevent Brooklyn star Kyrie Irving from playing in home games are fair. The mayor responding to comments made by the NBA commissioner Adam Silver on ESPN.
It just doesn't quite make sense to me that an away player who's unvaccinated can play in Barclays, but the home player can't.
Mayor Adams didn't take a hard stance on changing any rules. Republicans in Florida's House of Representatives have approved a ban on abortions after 15 weeks, joining other states in tightening access to the procedure ahead of a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that could overturn Roe v. Wade. Florida's bill, which Governor DeSantis has expressed support for, passed the House early this morning. It now moves on to the Republican-controlled Senate. And users of a five-letter puzzle craze upset about change. Wordle's biggest fans are A-N-G-R-Y with the New York Times, convinced the words have gotten harder since their version of the game rolled out. A spokesperson for the Times confirms they've updated the list of possible solutions to the daily puzzle. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
I guess too bad doesn't fit in the grid.
No, sir.
Thank you, John.
You'd be no good at the game.
6:35 on Wall Street. Time for a Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Bragging rights to Brooklyn. The Nets without the injured Kevin Durant. Kyrie Irving can't play a road game if it's still in New York. Knicks desperate for a victory. And they jumped in front by 20 in the first quarter. That lead grew to 28. It was still at 18 in the fourth. But yet another blown big lead. Furious rally by the Nets. They pulled it out. 116-111. The rookie Cam Thomas had a huge second half. Big contributions from two guys the Nets just acquired, Seth Curry and Andre Drummond. And the Nets with two wins in two nights after they had lost 11 in a row. Their coach is Steve Nash.
Lost a couple in a row. You know, Tibbs will have them fired up and combative. And they, you know, I thought were just more physical than us. So at halftime, we just said, this is a test of our character.
The Knicks hit the All-Star break. Losers of 13 of their last 16. They've had four different losing streaks of three or more games just in the last month. St. John's won at Xavier, 86-73. Seton Hall lost at UConn, 70-65. And what a winning streak for Rutgers. Scarlet Knights had already set a school record with three straight wins over top 25 teams and made it four. Beat Illinois, 70-59. Olympic women's hockey, as always, Canada and the U.S. with a gold medal. Canada led 3-0. The U.S. comeback fell short. Canada won 3-2. The U.S. has reached the men's curling semifinals. They are the defending champions. Reportedly, the Washington Nationals, before the lockout, offered their young star Juan Soto a contract, 13 years, $350 million, and turned it down. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
Wow. All right. Thank you, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Kriti, we've been watching quite a few names moving on earnings this morning. What's got your eye?
Yeah, absolutely. You are seeing some of the moves higher in the earnings space. But let's just start off with NVIDIA, which is actually lower on the day. NVDA is your ticker, down 3.4%. They actually beat earnings, Nathan, but there were some weak spots. Sales of NVIDIA's auto chips, for example, were lower than projected. Their adjusted gross margin coming in at 67%. You would think that's a good number, right, Nathan? But apparently, if you compare that to some of the other folks in the chip space, analog devices, for example, the margin was 72% there. So once again, NVIDIA dealing with some very high expectations. One of the pieces that came really kind of grabbed my attention in the earnings was that they're making really giant prepayments to help secure wafer capacity, essentially making sure that they have that capacity, they have that inventory, but they're spending $9 billion at the end of the fourth quarter. That's up from about $2.5 billion a year ago. So you can really see some of those costs eating into their bottom line. But let's stick with the semiconductor story because it's not just chip makers, it's also the chip equipment makers that are reporting earnings. Applied Materials, for example, AMAT is your ticker, up 2% in the market. This is the biggest maker of machinery used to manufacture semiconductors. It climbed in post-market trading yesterday after beating earnings on the top and bottom line. You just can't get enough of that chip demand.
Yeah, and you can't get enough of tech earnings more broadly as well. We heard from Cisco, too.
Yeah, a bunch of tech names. And, you know, when we think tech, it's not just your Apples, your Microsofts, your NVIDIAs. There's so much more in the tech universe. Cisco, for example, CSCO is your ticker, up 3.2%. This is the biggest maker of computer networking equipment. It actually gained in late trading yesterday. It's gaining this morning, like I said, 3.2% in the pre-market, giving a pretty bullish forecast. But I think what's grabbing people's attention here is the $15 billion increase to its share buyback program, bringing their total program to $18 billion. They're also seeing some pretty unprecedented demand of having a backlog of about $14 billion. Nathan, that is double the level it was a year ago. So a lot of good news, a lot of bullish drivers for Cisco here this morning. I'll end here with DoorDash, because who doesn't want to know about the restaurant reopening? DASH is your ticker, up 25% in the pre-market. Wow. They reported a record number of people ordering from the food delivery app in the fourth quarter. Revenue and marketplace gross order values also beat estimates. So DoorDash also having a very good day, Nathan.
If you order anything this morning, I'll take eggs and bacon.
Noted.
Thanks, Creedy.
I'll write it down.
All right, thank you. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Creedy Gupta with the pre-market check, as always. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole ahead of this Thursday morning open, futures are moving lower. We have S&P futures down 23 points, Dow futures down 157. NASDAQ futures are lower by 100 points. Little change to the DAX in Germany. The CAC in Paris is actually higher by 0.2%, but the FTSE 100 in London is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury's up 8/32, the yield 2.01%, and the yield on the 2-year right now 1.49%. Let's take a look at Bitcoin, shall we? Trading around $43,100. Latest developments on Ukraine, geopolitics in focus. Bloomberg Government's Jack Fitzpatrick joins us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Heavy rain tonight. We'll get into the upper 50s before then. Temperatures topping out early in the upper 50s before falling through the day. By Saturday, we'll only get low 40s. Right now, 52 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are falling this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red, with Dow futures down 150 points. S&P's dropped 23, while the NASDAQ futures decline by 97. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2%. Gold is higher by 15. Oil is down. And Bitcoin is lower by 2%. European markets are trading mixed right now. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims, housing starts, and Philly Fed. After the bell last night, Applied Materials beat estimates. Cisco gave an upbeat forecast. And NVIDIA reported is down 4% in the pre-market. Look for Walmart to report this morning around 7 a.m. In other news, Amazon struck an agreement with Visa on payment fees. And wrapping things up, CF Industries cut to neutral at J.P. Morgan. 3M was cut to underweight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John?
Good morning, Karen. Russia's foreign ministry is denying a claim by the U.S. and Britain that it's added as many as 7,000 troops to soldiers already near Ukraine's borders. Republicans in Florida's House of Representatives have approved a ban on abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. The CDC expected to loosen its recommendations about indoor mask wearing as soon as next week. Sports, the Knicks blow a 28-point lead at home and fall to the Nets. The Celtics, Wizards, and Warriors all lose. At the Olympics, Canada beats the U.S. to win the gold in women's ice hockey. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Baseball politics. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. There's a good chance Joe Biden will soon be asked about baseball's labor dispute. The answer for Biden is easy. Don't put the president's reputation on the line for this one. Public opinion is a no-gain, some-risk situation. If Biden was able to negotiate a deal, most voters simply wouldn't care, and those who did would quickly forget. If the effort went wrong, however, many baseball fans might well blame Biden for the continued lockout. Public opinion isn't a strong reason to stay out, but on balance, it weighs against involvement. Presidents also care about their reputations. It's safe to say that calling both sides into the Oval Office and then failing to cut a deal certainly wouldn't convince anyone of Biden's negotiating skills or political instincts. While the personal involvement of the president has downsides, there's very little risk in having the Department of Labor involved. So yes, the administration should try to get the game started. But this is one task best left for others to do. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. 6:50 on Wall Street, we turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report and a top 50 college for undergraduate entrepreneurship studies by the Princeton Review. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Hong Kong is deploying a tactic used on mainland China to root out coronavirus cases. It's planning a testing blitz of the entire city. Bloomberg News has learned that Chinese medical experts will probably be brought in to help. Local media said the push will begin in early March. Europe looks to be gradually leaving the pandemic behind. Germany is becoming the latest in the region to unwind restrictions that have disrupted life for 2 years. Chancellor Olaf Scholz announced that most of the COVID curbs will be rolled back by March 20th. Austria and Switzerland are planning similar steps. And Red Bull's Formula One team has signed what it described as the most lucrative annual cryptocurrency sponsorship in sports. The deal with Bybit is worth more than $100 million across 3 years. Red Bull says Bybit will work with the team on crypto literacy by educating on the digital economy. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the U.S. rejecting Russia's claims that it's pulled troops from near Ukraine, a split with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen slowing a White House strategy on crypto, and Democrats moving to abolish the debt ceiling as Republicans voice fears over the deficit. For more on all these stories, let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Jack Fitzpatrick joining us from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C. Jack, if you could get us up to speed on the latest. There's been, once again, a lot of headlines crossing on the Ukraine situation.
Yeah, there has been a lot. There's been a real extreme version of he said, she said. First, the U.S. has said that the Russian claims of a pullback away from the border are false. They've said there could be 7,000 more troops, Russian troops headed toward the border with Ukraine. That would be in addition to the 150,000 troops that the president has recently referred to. For what it's worth, the U.K.'s defense secretary agrees with the U.S. assessment. The Russian foreign ministry, through a spokeswoman, has denied it. There is supposed to be a more formal statement from Russia on that, probably sometime today. And meanwhile, there's been a back and forth sort of trading accusations on what exactly is happening in eastern Ukraine. There was an accusation that Ukraine had violated the ceasefire with separatists. It is worth keeping in mind that the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe has said there's been so much hot action in eastern Ukraine lately that it would not necessarily be out of the ordinary for something to have been fired. And now Ukraine actually says that a separatist shell hit a kindergarten in Ukraine. So even as Russia says they're pulling back and the U.S. says they don't believe that, there's sort of trading accusations in ways that I think the concern would be that Russia would use the action that we're seeing in eastern Ukraine as a justification for invasion. So the U.S. is still just as worried as ever.
Yeah, it almost sounds like information warfare before any actual shots get fired. We've also been following this widespread denial of service attack, the cyber attack in Ukraine. We're looking ahead to a European leaders summit later today. What are you going to be watching for next, Jack?
Pretty careful action. The latest from our colleagues on the terminal is that the EU leaders discussing this are not going to get into a detailed discussion of sanctions, and instead will focus on the current diplomatic efforts that we've seen so far. So there's a pretty clear effort to avoid escalation, not even just in terms of military escalation, but trying to avoid putting the cart before the horse when it comes to sanctions talk. So I would expect any news news out of that EU conversation to be very carefully worded.
Understood. Let's turn to domestic policy now. We've had some news on why it's taken so long for the White House to roll out a crypto policy. What's the latest there?
Well, there was supposed to be an executive order to guide the government's approach to crypto and crypto regulation in a more centralized way, because it really has been kind of a patchwork approach. Our colleagues on the terminal, the latest reporting on that is that that effort, which was supposed to be in the form of an executive order out of the White House, was delayed because of disagreements between White House officials and the Treasury. In particular, their reporting is that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen thinks it is unnecessary, especially to get into a conversation about government-backed crypto. She would rather let the Fed and the SEC continue the kind of work that they've been doing. And this was something that was supposed to come to fruition sometime early this year. There was reporting a few weeks ago on this, them trying to bring something together in terms of an executive order. But it's something they've struggled with, really seemingly because of divisions among the Biden administration.
All right. Something worth watching. Thanks for this, Jack. Great to have you on with us this morning. That's Jack Fitzpatrick, covers Congress for Bloomberg Government. And you can read much more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And as a reminder, you can follow all the latest developments from the nation's capital on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, D.C. You can hear us on Bloomberg 99.1. And 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, it is 6:56 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak, and February is Black History Month, and every day this month we are celebrating significant moments in U.S. Black history. Now, with your installment for February 17th, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1891, Albert Richardson patented the butter churn. Up until then, anyone who wanted butter had to make it by hand in a bowl. But Richardson's invention would eventually make it easier to make butter and forever change the food industry. Throughout his life, Richardson had a habit of seeing a problem and then inventing a solution. One such problem he saw was the way dead people were buried. At the time, it was in shallow graves or lowering caskets with ropes into a deeper hole. And this required several people to work in unison, which wasn't always possible, and it could result in damaging the casket. So in 1894, Richardson patented the casket lowering device, and it's used in all cemeteries today. Richardson also invented the home fastener, an insect destroyer, and an improved design of the bottle. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
Right, Renita, thank you. And futures are falling today. S&P futures down 23 points, Dow futures down 159, NASDAQ futures down 97, and the 10-year Treasury up 11 32nds, yield 1.99%, the yield on the 2-year 1.48%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.